Welcome to Asset Protection Today with attorney Bill Alexander. Thank you so much for being here with us today. I'm Jason Kong, and we're doing this program via Zoom today with Bill Alexander. Bill, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. I can complain, but it doesn't do me any good. How about that?
Well, I know you had a week of respite. I'm sorry that the weather didn't exactly cooperate with you at the coast.
Well, that's exactly right. And it's sad. It was not raining. The sun was out for the most part, but it was just horribly windy and so windy that it was not a time you could be out on the water at all. And the rip currents were horrible. And basically, it was great if you wanted to be indoors.
Well, Bill, your loss, I think, might be our gain because you've got your seminars happening this coming Wednesday, September 11th. And with that, you know, you have your traditional webinars that we've been doing since COVID.
We don't want to forget about our webinars. Those are important to folks and important to us as well. We love teaching. As much as we possibly can, and webinars are free and easy. Let's put it that way. If folks have the time, it certainly is helpful. But as you know, this is our first effort going back to seminars face to face, and I'm really looking forward to doing. This one, we're going back to Independence Village of Old Raleigh, which hosted us for many years for our monthly seminars. But when COVID hit, bottom line is they threw us out, and we, for good reason, of course, you know, trying to protect everyone. We were all in favor of that, and that's why we started our webinars was because with COVID, it just seemed the right thing to do. And the webinars have been so successful that we wanted to continue to do those, but then to add a face-to-face seminar, because for some folks, it's just important to be able to attend in person, face-to-face. That way they can feel comfortable asking questions, and they get it all is what it boils down to, because it's not just what's said. They can back up, they can ask questions, they get the body language, if you will, and those kinds of things. And of course, it's a lot more fun to do a seminar than a webinar. And so I'm really looking forward to it. Now, some folks have asked, well, what is this? Is the seminar going to be the same, same old, same old? And the answer to that is no. Actually, what the title for the seminar is Asset Protection for Medicaid and Legacies. And so what I'm trying to do, and of course this is a confusing area for so many folks, is to explain how asset protection for Medicaid works and at the same time be able to explain how asset protection from everything else works. And what really baffles folks is that it's completely different in terms of what you do to avoid Medicaid estate recovery and the things that you do and can do and should do as it relates to protecting things from potential claims that can come in multiple different ways, because as we accumulate wealth, we want to protect that wealth during our lifetime and then hopefully protect it for the benefit of our spouse and our children and grandchildren. If our legacies are large enough, certainly we would like to see it be passed down from one generation to the next. And there are ways to do that. And of course, right now is an important time for folks, particularly well-to-do folks that are looking for how to protect their legacies for themselves and their children and grandchildren, how best to do that. And quite frankly, this next year and a half is a very, very important time for folks to get that done. Of course, when it comes to Medicaid, frankly, seniors need to do something about that right now, as opposed to waiting till next year. Because when it comes to asset protection, frankly, procrastination is your enemy. And the fact is all of us procrastinate to some degree. But when it comes to the things that are important to us, and protecting ourselves and protecting our family come quite high on that list, I think. It becomes pretty important. So actually, I'm hoping that we'll have a good turnout at 6:30 at Independence Village of Old Raleigh for my seminar. And quite frankly, I'm really looking forward to it.
I know you've been excited to get back to the in-person seminars, and if you would like to attend that happening on this coming Wednesday, September 11th, you can go to wgalaw.com. You can click on the seminars button at the top of the page. From there, you can choose which one you would like to attend. If you want to choose the morning or the afternoon webinar, you could do that. And hey, maybe you're adventurous. You want to do a webinar in the morning or the afternoon and go see Bill in the evening for the in-person seminar. You can do that because there's no cost associated with these. It's just a wonderful educational opportunity for you. Go to wgalaw.com, click on that seminars button to register in advance. You can also call 919-256-7000, 919-256-7000. And Bill, we got to warn everyone too that there's no food served at the in-person seminar. It's just food for thought, right?
That's right. We're going to feed folks as much information as we possibly can. Yeah. So anyway, but
Excellent.
you're exactly right. You know, this is not your typical come to us and we'll sell you an annuity.
Yep, and that's the benefit. You really aren't being sold anything. It's just a good way to get information about some topics that, boy, are filled with a lot of myths and half-truths, and it's hard to get a lot of accurate information. But luckily, we have these webinars the second Wednesday of every month put on by WG Alexander and Associates that you can attend for free. Go to wgalaw.com, click on the seminars button to learn more. We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be back with more. You're listening to Asset Protection Today with Attorney Bill Alexander, and we'll be right back after this. Welcome back to Asset Protection Today with Attorney Bill Alexander. Go to wgalaw.com if you would like to schedule some time to speak with an elder law attorney, someone on the team at WG Alexander and Associates, or if you're interested in attending their free webinars happening this coming Wednesday, September 11th. Be sure to sign up now if you're interested in attending one of the free webinars happening this coming Wednesday in the morning or the afternoon, or maybe you're interested in the in-person seminar that's making its way back. We were talking about this last segment, but if you want to attend Bill's new seminar that focuses on asset protection for Medicaid and legacies, it's a wonderful chance for you to be a part of the new seminar happening at Independence Village of Old Raleigh. Go to wgalaw.com, click on the seminars button at the top of the page. I'm Jason Kong here with Bill Alexander joining us via Zoom today. And Bill, let's get into a discussion on legal documents.
Well, I mean, truthfully, I wouldn't be worth my salt as an attorney, as an estate planner, if I did not say that every adult should have estate planning documents. And the fact is that for all of our clients, that we recommend that they have six basic legal documents. Now, for some clients, they need far more than that. But frankly, every client, or I should say almost every client, should have six documents. And that includes a last will and testament, a general durable power of attorney, a healthcare power of attorney, an advance directive for natural death, that's often called a living will, a medical release for HIPAA compliance, and that one's actually required by federal law. And then lastly, a digital release that's been authorized by the state legislature, which can be very important because almost everything is done online now, at least for most of us. And so a digital release for your agent to be able to use your username and password, has become a very important document. When it comes to documents, you never know which document is going to be the one that you need to use. I mean, it's just like with a digital assets release, that I would say that most families, when someone needs, and generally it's a parent or a grandparent, needs somebody to help them pay their bills, the grandchild or the child goes online and does it using the username and password. Now, frankly, that's done all the time without authority or permission from the bank or the like. But with a digital release, you can actually make that an authorized transaction for your agent under your general durable power of attorney to do exactly that. Another good example that a lot of people don't think about is the fact that when our children turn 18, they're adults. And guess what? Mom and dad don't have any authority anymore to make healthcare decisions for their child. So, frankly, even if a child, and of course, most children have no property to speak of, and whatever they have, they spend. So, but the fact is that as parents, if we dread the possibility that our child might end up going to the hospital, but the fact is we know that accidents occur, particularly in that age group, and that a healthcare power of attorney, and actually there are three healthcare documents, but the healthcare power of attorney names an agent. And so when a child turns 18, wouldn't it be smart as parents to have the child sign a healthcare power of attorney naming mom and dad as their healthcare agent, just so that if an accident occurs or something bad happens, then a healthcare decision can be made by mom and dad without problems. And of course, having the healthcare power of attorney is the most important healthcare document, but it should also have a medical release for HIPAA compliance. As I said earlier, that's actually required by federal law. And that same language that's in the separate document, the HIPAA release, should also be contained in the healthcare power of attorney. Oftentimes, the state forms don't actually refer to federal law. But in this particular case, it should. It's important that it does that. And then, of course, having an advance directive for natural death, even for an 18-year-old, is something that they should have, in my opinion. All of us, all adults, should have those documents. But now, our show is really about asset protection, and so when we're talking about asset protection, we're not talking about our health normally, other than the expense sometimes in terms of having to pay for good, for better health, I should say. But when it comes to asset protection, two documents stand out in terms of the importance. And of course, as we get older, For seniors in particular, our legal documents are absolutely critical because, number one, as anyone can tell you who's getting up there in age, as we get older, we not only lose brain cells, but the fact is that our bodies don't do what they did a few years ago. When they talk about 70 being the new 40, I'll tell you that that's baloney. But the point is, as we get older, there's a greater risk, obviously, that we will decline in one way or another. And as we, you know, and so the bottom line is that's just the natural process of aging. And of course, as we get older, any life insurance company will tell you there's a greater risk that, of death as well. And so being prepared for that is extremely important. And so when it comes to asset protection planning, the general durable power of attorney is the key document, because if for any reason we are incapacitated and we can't sign a document, or we don't have the mental ability to understand what's going on anymore, then somebody's got to do it for us. So the question is does the power of attorney that we have signed, does it actually authorize our trusted agent, which is normally our spouse, if we have a spouse, and if we don't, if we have a child that's trusted, then hopefully it's that child, or more in some cases, if we're really lucky, and have more trusted people. But the fact is that having a general durable power of attorney is really not enough. It has to be the right kind of general durable power of attorney. And the sad part is that the typical power of attorney that is executed in most law offices, now, you have to understand that most law offices are not elder law attorneys. And it's the elder law bar, it's the attorneys who practice in the elder law area that are focused on the needs of seniors. And elder law attorneys typically will have their clients sign a much more aggressive general durable power of attorney than your typical attorney that's going to use the state forms or something akin to the state forms. And that's an extremely important distinction. I can't tell you how often I have reviewed someone's power of attorney and it not authorize what needs to be done to protect that person's property. I want, first of all, when we come back, I want to talk about why a typical power of attorney does not work, and then what we can do to solve that.
It's an important discussion to have. And, you know, one of the worst spots you can be in is not having any sort of legal documents, but, you know.
Oh, right, you're right about that, Jason. I didn't even go there, and I should have. Thank you for bringing that up, because, you know, there are a ton of folks out there that have no documents at all.
Yeah. And, you know, almost just as bad is having a set of documents that you think is going to accomplish something, but in effect, as you're going to explain to us, they don't. So making sure that, one, you have your documents. If you don't have that, be sure to schedule some time to speak with the folks at WG Alexander & Associates. You can do that by going to WGALaw.com or by calling 919-256-7000, 919-256-7000, or maybe you're one of these folks who've had your documents done maybe 20 years ago and you've never had them reviewed by an elder law attorney. Schedule some time to have those documents reviewed so that they are performing exactly the way that you may need them to, in the future. And don't forget, WGALaw.com is where you can go to register for the free webinars happening this Wednesday, September 11th. The webinars are in the morning and the afternoon. The morning session covers long-term care assistance. The afternoon session covers asset protection and trust planning. And it's back. It's finally back. The in-person webinar is going to be this coming Wednesday, September 11th. Excuse me, the in-person seminar covering asset protection for Medicaid and legacies. If you've wanted to get back to an in-person seminar to learn more from Bill, this is a great way to do it. It's happening this Wednesday. Be sure to go to WGALaw.com and click on the seminars button at the top of the page. A short break and back. You're listening to Asset Protection Today with attorney Bill Alexander, and we'll be right back. This is Asset Protection Today with attorney Bill Alexander. Be sure to go to WGALaw.com if you want to learn more about WG Alexander and Associates and their free webinars that they do the second Wednesday of every month. And guess what? This coming Wednesday is the second Wednesday of the month, Wednesday, September 11th. If you would like to learn more about long-term care assistance, helpful information for families dealing with a long-term care crisis, covers Medicaid, VA benefits, many forms of educational elements that help guide you through the crisis that is caused by long-term care and certainly the financial needs created by that. This is a very helpful webinar that will be put on that morning. And the afternoon, there's a webinar dedicated to asset protection and trust planning. And in the evening, an in-person seminar at Independence Village of Old Raleigh, put on by Bill, 6:30 happening that evening, covering asset protection for Medicaid and legacies. You can register for the webinars or the seminar for free by going to WGALaw.com and clicking on the seminars button. I'm Jason Kong here with Bill Alexander. And Bill, we're talking all about legal documents, and we're now shifting our focus in particular to general durable powers of attorney and why this is such a critical document and why some folks get this wrong.
Well, a lot of folks think that because the document is called a general durable power of attorney, that their agent, or what most people call their power of attorney, can do anything that they need. And oftentimes it has general language just like that, that it is intended to be broad powers. But the fact is, even if it has that kind of language, what the agent can do is limited to what is specifically authorized. And so they, in other words, they can't do anything that's not specifically authorized. And that's really important for folks to understand. And so, so what are some of the things that keep a power of attorney from actually working to allow your agent to protect your property in the event of a crisis? Well, and Medicaid's a pretty good place to start because, frankly, typically you're trying to do two things when you're looking at the potential for needing Medicaid. You're trying to get your loved one eligible for Medicaid and to protect their assets at the same time. Now, for a person who is married, generally the first thing that you need to be able to do is to transfer the property from the Medicaid applicant to the applicant's spouse if they're married. So now if they're unmarried, if they're single, then it's a little more difficult issue. But the fact is, Medicaid authorizes you to transfer all of your property to your spouse, and there's no penalty or five-year look back for doing so. But you have to be able to do that. So if you're incapacitated, now, obviously, if you're not incapacitated and you can sign the documents, fine. But the power of attorney is there for those instances where you're not able to sign. And so, what are some of the provisions that I've seen over the years that keep a document from working? Well, oftentimes, a general power of attorney will not have any gifting provision at all. In other words, there's not anything that says that you may gift to anyone. Then I've seen lots of them not have a gifting provision to your spouse. And that's critical because a transfer to anyone other than your spouse for Medicaid purposes is a sanctioned transfer. But to your spouse, no sanction, no 5-year look back, no problem. And so I've seen lots of powers of attorney that say, I can gift or my agent can gift to my children and their spouses, but it doesn't say to my spouse. So obviously that's a big omission. Another big issue, because this is almost, you almost expect to see it, is limited gifting. And so you say, well, what do you mean by limited gifting? Where the gifting provision only authorizes gifting that you have historically done, such as your, weekly check to the church or monthly check to the church, that sort of thing. Or it is limited to the annual gift tax exclusion amount, which is $18,000 per year per person. And obviously, you can't transfer your ownership in the house with that $18,000 limitation. And of course, to the degree that you have investments and retirement accounts and other things, that's not going to work at all. And I've seen tons of powers of attorney that say you can gift, but it doesn't mention anything about real estate. In other words, you may gift real or personal property. It just says you may gift. And if it doesn't specifically mention real estate in North Carolina, you're not authorized to transfer real estate. Or another one where there's no provision for the agent to make a gift to themselves, to that agent. Well, guess what? Oftentimes your agent is who? Your spouse. And guess what? That's the person we're trying to make the gift to. So if there's not a provision for the agent to make a gift to themselves, and of course, there are a lot of documents that specifically exclude the agent from making a gift to themselves, because it would be, without that language in there, it would be an illegal act, self-serving, if you will, a breach of fiduciary duty. So yeah, that's pretty darn important. Or there may not be a provision for changing beneficiary designations or changes to retirement plans or changes, amendments to trust documents and the like. So, all of those are reasons why the power of attorney that you have right now may not work. And as I'm taxed all the time with reviewing folks' documents, I'd say that these are the most common ones that I find as to why they should have a broader base, what we call an enhanced general durable power of attorney. Now, for a young person, a regular power of attorney should be fine. But as we get older, seniors particularly should have enhanced powers. Now, I put an asterisk by that because I only am talking about seniors who have a person they have absolute faith in. In other words, absolute trustworthy person. Hopefully that's their spouse or a child. But you don't give somebody that you have questions about taking advantage of you or taking advantage of other family members You don't give that kind of person these kinds of powers that we would have in an enhanced power of attorney. I hate to say it, but 80% of the financial abuse that occurs comes from where? Family members, because they've given a person authority into their checkbook who should not have had that authority. And sometimes that can be a catastrophe to the senior, but it's always a catastrophe to the other family members.
It's a sad number to hear, but it's again, it really underlines the importance of making sure that you do have that trusted individual. And if you don't, then there's other routes that you can go down. But it's also a critical, just underlining of why we should have our documents reviewed by an elder law attorney if we've never had that done. If you would like to schedule some time to speak with a member of the team at WG Alexander and Associates, you can go to wgalaw.com to schedule an appointment. You can also find information at wgalaw.com about their free webinars happening this coming Wednesday, September 11th. Be sure to go to wgalaw.com and click on the seminars button. There's two webinars that you can attend. The morning session deals with long-term care assistance, Medicaid, VA benefits. The afternoon session deals with asset protection and trust planning. And it's back in the evening. You can now attend an in-person seminar with Bill. It's covering asset protection for Medicaid and legacies. All of these are free to attend. There's no cost to you. You just have to register in advance to attend. Be sure to go to wgalaw.com and click on the seminars button to find more information. You can also call the office. That phone number is 919-256-7000. 919-256-7000. A quick break and back. This is Asset Protection Today with Attorney Bill Alexander. We'll be right back. This is Asset Protection Today with Attorney Bill Alexander. Go to WGALaw.com to find more information about WG Alexander and Associates and their free webinars happening this Wednesday, September 11th. Go to WGALaw.com. Click on the seminars button at the top of the page. You can register to attend for free this coming Wednesday, September 11th. If you would like to learn more about long-term care assistance, Medicaid, VA benefits, or asset protection and trust planning, or a new in-person seminar titled Asset Protection for Medicaid and Legacies. You can find all the information at wgalaw.com. Click on the seminars button at the top of the page. I'm Jason Kong here with Bill Alexander. We're doing this program via Zoom today, and Bill, we're talking all about legal documents, and we've been focusing in on general powers of attorney.
Okay, so you're in a Medicaid crisis. In other words, you have a loved one that is in the hospital, or they've been to the hospital, they're in rehab, they have not gotten enough to come home, and you're being told by the discharge folks that they're going to have to stay in the nursing home for their safety. And so that their needs can be taken care of. That's a crisis because the cost of nursing care tends to be $8,000-$9,000 or more per month. And most families don't have the resources to pay that for very long. And so it will wipe most families out pretty darn quick because those costs are too high. And so in the event that your loved one who's now incapacitated can't sign new documents, and you have an old power of attorney that, for one of the reasons we described in our last segment, Doesn't give you the authority as the agent to do what you need to do to help your loved one become Medicaid eligible or to protect those assets. Well, the good news is there is a solution. Okay. So the solution, however, may take a month or two. And of course, time is money when it comes to paying for care. So what's the solution? Well, when you have a power of attorney and an incapacitated person, but your power of attorney doesn't do enough, we can file in the courthouse in the county where you live, a special proceeding to gift property. Now, of course, it goes through the clerk of Superior Court. It ends up with the chief resident Superior Court judge, but they have the legal ability to authorize gifts that meet the statutory rules for gifting. And so the bottom line is there is a solution for folks who don't have an adequate power of attorney. Now, obviously, it would have been a whole lot cheaper and faster if they'd had the right documents to begin with. So let's go to the worst situation. What if you have no documents at all? Is there a solution? Yes, there is a solution. And it has to do with you can file a special proceeding with the clerk of Superior Court, which again goes to the chief resident Superior Court judge. It's a different statutory authority than the one for the general power of attorney, but it's a different statutory scheme. It's a little bit different, but like I said, in most cases, particularly where you have a long-term spouse involved, which is, which I see very frequently, then we file a special proceeding. But it almost ta always takes a couple months to get it done, sometimes longer than that, depending on circumstances, to get all the information and get it before the clerk and the judge and those kinds of things. But the fact is yes, there is a solution. Now, if they had had an enhanced power of attorney to begin with, then we could have avoided having to file a special proceeding in order to do the things that we need to do. But let me also put that asterisk there. To have an enhanced power, you have to have a person that you have absolute faith in to give them the kind of authority that is given in an enhanced power of attorney. But there, Jason, there's another issue that I see more often today, and that's even if you have the right power of attorney. And that is if you have a power of attorney and then you take it to the bank or the financial firm. And they're saying, no, we're not going to accept this. Sorry. So it's like, oh my, what do we do? What? I mean, okay. So, and it's unfortunate because, quite frankly, the statutes don't have any significant penalty. But institutions for your bank or your financial advisory, the broker dealer, it's what I call lame penalties for institutions that just say, no, we're not going to accept this. Sorry. What are you going to do? Well, obviously, you could get a guardianship, but you don't want to do that because you'd have to have a general guardianship, and that requires bonds and accountings and all sorts of things that you don't want to have. But why would they not accept a validly drawn, something that's clearly done right, and it has all the right language in it? Well, I've seen them say, we're not going to accept it because it's too old. I mean, now that, quite frankly, is not a valid reason, because as long as it has not been revoked and it doesn't have an expiration date in it, then being too old is a ridiculous kind of thing. But oftentimes I see this, and I generally do not put these in my powers of attorney, but I see it to where folks say that it's something along these lines. This power of attorney, it is not effective unless or until I am incapacitated. Now, if that's the case, then you need another document. Your agent would need a document, typically from your medical doctor or your lawyer, who refers to a medical doctor, that basically says you're incapacitated. And that's a whole lot of trouble to have to get that kind of documentation for the institution to accept your power of attorney. In fact, I had that case just this week where a lady called me and said, I have some CDs at a bank up in Michigan, and I'm in the hospital, and my agent is up there, and they say they won't let her cash in my CDs unless I'm incapacitated. And I said, well, you're clearly not incapacitated. you're just in the hospital, unfortunately. But guess what? Her power of attorney had this clause in it. So the bank was exactly right to do what they said, and we can't accept this unless you are incapacitated. So I don't like that. Now, another reason some of the institutions are not accepting them is because the power of attorney doesn't have an indemnity clause in it that basically says, by accepting this power of attorney, we're not going to hold the bank liable in the event the agent does something that they shouldn't do. Some powers of attorney would not have that kind of language in there. And the bad news is that institutions can get away with this kind of denial when it can be extraordinarily important. Now, is there a solution? Well, one solution is to have a revocable trust, where your agent is also a co-trustee. And that can actually solve this kind of problem that you might have. And there are other ways to solve this problem too that I could go into.
Well, you can make sure that you schedule some time to speak with an elder law attorney by going to wgalaw.com. As you are hearing that there's often different approaches that we can take to achieving a goal. It's just a matter of what makes the most sense. Again, wgalaw.com. Don't forget, you can also register for the free webinars and free seminar happening this Wednesday, September 11th. Learn more about long-term care assistance, Medicaid, VA benefits, asset protection and trust planning, and also asset protection for Medicaid and legacies. We're taking a short break, but we'll be right back. This is Asset Protection Today with Attorney Bill Alexander, and we'll be right back. This is Asset Protection Today with Attorney Bill Alexander. Be sure to go to wgalaw.com to register for the free webinars and free seminar happening this coming Wednesday, September 11th in the morning and afternoon. The webinars will be happening. The morning session deals with long-term care assistance. Covers Medicaid, VA benefits, forms of financial assistance for those dealing with a long-term care crisis. The afternoon webinar covers asset protection and trust planning, and the new seminar, in-person seminar happening in the evening at 6:30 at Independence Village of Old Raleigh is put on by Bill, and it's titled Asset Protection for Medicaid and Legacies. We would love to see you there. Be sure to register in advance if you would like to attend. Go to wgalaw.com and click on the seminars button to do that. Or you can call 919-256-7000, 919-256-7000. 7000. That's going to do it for us today. On behalf of Bill Alexander, I'm Jason Kong, thanking you for listening to Asset Protection Today with Attorney Bill Alexander. We hope you have a wonderful day.